very special episode of the Velocino podcast where the best stories have not yet been written. First of all, I'm alone. Mike is skiing and he left me behind alone, very sad. But I have the chance to speak to Nick Clark, who is currently in Morocco and who is going to start tomorrow at the Atlas Mountain Race. Well, what can I say? He's really nervous. So apologize if this episode is not the best of qualities because we recorded this via Facebook Messenger. He's in Morocco. And because we want to get out this episode very quick, we didn't do any editing. So let's see what he has to say. Okay, yeah, I think it is recording. I hope.
Oh, awesome. Hopefully.
Okay.
How you doing, Neil? Is it okay?
Yeah, I'm very well, actually. It's Valentine's Day. We just ordered Domino's pizza.
How's the baby? Baby okay?
Yeah, baby is very fine. She's having her first swimming lessons tomorrow, so really, really excited. Fantastic. Really, really cool. And you? Like, you're shitting yourself?
Absolutely shitting myself, yeah. You know when you realise that that even when you're trying not to be arrogant, you might have secretly been being slightly arrogant towards yourself?
Yeah.
And you're like, do you know what? It's dawned on me. Everyone here has done this before. They all look pretty fit. They've got pretty fast light bikes. They know what they're doing, and I haven't got a clue, and I'm hopelessly out of my depth, massively underprepared, and there's so many things. So I've come to a firm conclusion that for everything that could go wrong, there's a countermeasure, i.e. like you can bring a Metcalf, or you can bring extra water, or you can bring more warm kit. But every single thing that you try and account for adds weight and you become less competitive. So you have to start making risks, calculated risks, based on what you think you're most likely to need. I haven't got the experience to know what I can go, sack that off, get rid of that, not bother with that.
Yeah.
So my bike weighs 4 tons. and I was standing in the queue, and one of the blokes who's done this before was like, yeah, if you don't get over this hill in the light, you won't be able to see the path to come down, and it's all just like hike a bike for 3K, and you can get lost even though you're following a GPS trail if you've not got it zoomed in. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking,
shit. I think when you just bring another like chain link in case your chain rips, you're fine.
Yeah, I've got chain links. I've got spokes. I don't even know how to true a wheel. I'll have to just YouTube the video if it happens.
Yeah.
I do know how to true a wheel. I just not very good at it. But do you know what I mean? I want to just get going because every I sit here, I'm thinking about all the things. What happens if my dynamo is charging slower than the rate that I'm burning through like battery power?
Oh.
I need the battery to navigate. I need the lights to light the way, yeah. And it'll be fine on the first day. But when you're like two, three days in, that's it. You're screwed if you've been running on a negative equity and not realizing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but I think, you know, that you don't need the lights during the daytime, so I think it might charge better when it's just, you know...
Hopefully.
So, hopefully. Yeah.
And then, like, I've got food, but, like, and I've got water.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to need to get more, and I have to get resupplies. It's all fine. It's just total unknowns. So if this was a time trial or a road race, I'd be nervous about the fact that I'm racing, but I'd understand what that meant.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about the fact I'm racing, and I have no understand what that actually means. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy.
It's just dawned on me now.
I
haven't been to Morocco. I haven't been to Morocco for 12 years, and I've just come back, and it's awesome. I forgot how much I love the place. It's a brilliant country, and it's changed a lot as well.
Yeah,
they've really cracked down on the quite hyper aggressive tour guide stuff. It's a lot more chilled than it was before. It's a lot more touristy than it was before, but it's quite nice actually. I'm staying in an absolute dive. The reason why the signal is probably not great is I'm in a basement.
Yeah,
it's costing me £7 a night. The hotel where the HQ is like £30 a night. That's the difference in the quality of accommodation I've chosen.
Yeah, it is absolutely fine. I think I've seen a picture on your Instagram account. It looked a bit like a bathroom.
Yeah. it's all pretty tiny. It's cool though.
Are you planning on, I don't know, like updating us people at home, like on your Instagram handle or so with some pictures?
So I've got that. There's a spot tracker which will give the tracking location, and the Atlas Mountain Race people are going to do quite a bit of social media type stuff during the race.
That's on Instagram, Atlas Mountain Race. At Atlas Mountain Race, I guess, right? I think. Yeah.
At Atlas Mountain Race. And they've got like a podcast they're running as well for the thing.
Nice.
With like little highlights of all the races, riders in there, and then loads of like social media-y type stuff. But for me, I think if I'm near the back of the race, you'll probably get quite a lot of updates. If I'm near the front of the race, you'll get a lot less. I think after the first day, I'll have a good feel for how I am feeling in comparison to everyone else.
Oh, fantastic.
And then from that, will shape how I take part, if that makes sense. I've got a whole race season ahead of me, and I won't take huge risks if it's not huge gains to be had, but I'll ride it hard. But John Ames, like, it's whether or not you ride for, I know, on the last day, 26 hours to get in to be able to be the person that's in 12th place.
So cool.
Somebody in the back, there's no point throwing. So
I've seen you have met already some other riders, like I saw Lloyd Wright in one of the pictures.
Yeah. So I haven't seen Lloyd for a few years.
Yeah, good to see him.
And and he's a comedy genius. So he's just a good value, just keeping his smiling and stuff. So he's got a friend here from when he used to BMX.
Yeah.
So the three of us have had a few like lunches and stuff and hanged around a little bit, which has helped pass the time a little bit. And then bumped into Chris Hall, who's done the 24-hour races.
Oh, yeah.
And James Hayden as well. So just a, like quick loads to the odd person. So it's been quite sociable, for want of a better word, but it's all a bit calm before the storm.
Yeah.
So
it's also the first real time that it happens, right, this event?
Say again?
Is it the first time that this event actually happens in this format? So
So the organizers done the Silk Road Mountain Race, and most people that were signing on appeared to have done the Silk Road Mountain Race. So they're like veterans of the race organizers' races.
Yeah.
But I think everyone's half guessing what it'll be like. But quite a few of the people have been out here and recce'd the route, which is key. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's some preparation, dedication. And I don't think I realized how much this niche of cycling has got its own set of pro riders or top-end amateur riders, that this is their thing. And so you're very daft if you come into it thinking, I ride quite quickly on the road, I'll be all right at this, or I ride mountain bike races, two-hour mountain bike races, I'll be all right at this, when you've got people that this is what they do.
Yeah, it's a new specialty.
They know how to ride them really well. Yeah. They know what they're doing. It's a bit like someone that does 40-minute crits coming in doing a 24-hour time trial with me. You know, whilst they might be quick and they might get like do well at it, they lack the lived experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
cool.
So
there's a lot of people back here in England that are very jealous, I guess, because this sounds like such a great race.
It's me and Lloyd were saying it's like the best kind of holiday. You feel like kids.
Yeah.
Because it's like a proper adventure. Like when I was a kid, I remember like going, when I was first allowed to go out like and wander from my house. I used to live in a village. I used to go like walk across the fields, and we used to like pretend that we were like adventuring into the unknown.
Yeah.
And we're saying it's like the same kind of thing. You're like, it's a race, so it gives it a purpose. Yeah. So why are you going to go like race off into mountains? Because if you weren't in a race, you wouldn't ride your bike for 20 hours, you wouldn't ride over mountains in the dark. That's just stupid. And there you are, you're like, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. There's a river crossing in it and stuff like that. It's quite cool.
So cool.
And it's real sort of excites the sort of kid in you for like adventure.
How long will
I'm
it take?
Stoked to be here.
Will it take like a week?
So everyone says that everyone reckons the winner will do it in 3.5 days.
Wow.
it's
tough.
So, I mean, ultimately, I've got no idea how fast I will be going at all. I mean, it might take me a week. The cutoff is the 22nd.
Yeah.
So is that a week, isn't it? 22nd is a week, there or thereabouts?
Yeah.
So I would like to come in somewhere between 7 days and 3.5 days. So, I mean, my goal is to finish.
Yeah.
Or finish full stop, because, I mean, you can have them in the cutoffs. I've got a flight on the 25th, so I have to finish before then. But my goal is to finish before the cutoff. I think most people's will be that. I think there's quite a few people here that will be racing to win it or try and podium. Until I get going, until the end of the first day, I won't have a clue if that puts me in that category or not. I mean, my off-road riding isn't really that good. I've done a fair amount of practice, but it's not natural to me. So see where it goes.
Yeah, I think also there's other factors like sleep deprivation, you know, like riding when you're very tired, and actually also finding a spot where you can sleep, right, quite comfortably. So there's like a lot of other factors playing a role. Yeah, so you will be fine.
I'm okay with riding fatigued. Yeah. Like, yeah, so the fitness side of it and the fatigue, that's not to me.
Yeah.
But no illusion, it'll be horrible and hard. I'm not saying for a second it won't be, but that is a known quantity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's the off-road and the remoteness that is on a bike is going to be new to me. I mean, I can do remote, that's no problem, but remoteness on a bike, off-road, for a number of days, yeah, that's a big thing, and some people are going to be all over it. It's their thing. Me, I'm going to probably be flapping and making mistakes that slow me down. And
it will annoy you.
My understanding is the worse you are at it, the more like you are to punch it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've got a good playlist, so...
Yeah, it will be fine. And you flew out there like 3 days ago or something, and how are you enjoying it so far? Is there like a big vibe in the area?
So my flight choices were based around the cheapest flights I could get nearest to the registration at the end.
Yeah.
So I flew out here on the 12th, which got in the afternoon, and then I sort of had yesterday, which was like a totally spare day, then today was sign-on day, so you had to be here for today.
Yeah.
And the race is tomorrow. And then finishes on the 22nd. 23rd is when we get our transfers back to Marrakesh.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't get flights until the 25th. So I'm here for a few more days afterwards as well. So I'll either be relaxing or wallowing away in self-pity. If something goes horribly wrong, it means I have to scratch, which I don't want to consider. But I'll probably try and work out a flight back earlier. But we'll cross that bridge if it ever happens.
Really cool. And is there anyone where you think like, oh, this person could be really like a favorite for the win, and have you reached out to that person? Or
so again, so like I know a couple of names just from social media, so like Jade Petiveri,
yeah,
and James Hayden obviously are like people that are more known, but a girl that raced the 24 hour who won the Transcontinental race not this year but like year before, and the Trans-Pyrenean race last year. Yeah. She kindly went out for a bike ride with me. And she picked my brain on the 24 hour, and I picked her brain on bike packing. And then she sent me a list of about 10 to 15 people that she thought were big hitters. And I hadn't even heard of most of them. It just goes to show it's like its own little world.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few people that she considers to be like up there in contention. So I think there's a good 10, 15 people that are vying for trying to win it, a bit like the 24 hour. You've got 10, 15 people really trying hard to get that first place, and the rest are all racing, but they're all racing for their best that they can do, if that makes sense.
Nice. Really, really exciting times. So yeah, wish you all the best. You have a couple of good sponsors, right, that help you getting through all of this.
So Celestial Cycles, which is
like
a cottage steel frame industry, they've been fantastic. They basically built a bike to the spec that they thought would work best for this race. So I just basically ride the bike that they think will work best, which is actually fantastic.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I put some photos on the Velocino website. I saw there's even like a little suspension like next to the bottom bracket, if that's right.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting because it's got a loud fork up the front, which I think quite a lot of people know about.
Yeah.
But the frame itself has got like a leaf spring built into the rear seat stays.
Yeah.
So it's got like, if you can imagine like a loud fork, it's got like the loud equivalent for the rear suspension, if that makes sense. It's not got rear suspension, but it's got like almost like a bit of a loud rear, if you could call it that. It's not a loud, but it's made by Celestial. So hopefully that should give a little bit. And then the Madison Cycling were fantastic. They gave me more bike bags. I don't do this sort of stuff, so I haven't got any luggage.
Yeah.
So they gave me that and some warm weather kit for the night times. So I've been really, really lucky, and they've been absolutely fantastic supporting that.
So nice. Really good to hear. Cool. I wish you all the best. And you and Lloyd, both have to come in.
An early night, sleep loads. I've been drinking loads of water and eat as much as I humanly can now.
The start will be tomorrow morning. Probably won't. Right?
So the start is 9 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's 8 o'clock your time.
Okay.
And it's neutralized to start with a police escort for the first few K. I think it's the first 7K neutralized, and then the race starts proper. Basically, it's neutralized through Marrakesh, and then as you get out onto the sticks, it's the neutralized section finishes.
How many competitors in total do you know?
Procession. So I don't know if it's 187 individual riders or 187 including Pep, but I think it's, there's 187 something.
Wow.
I think it's 187 individuals and some pairs.
So nice. So nice. And if people want to follow you, they there's a website where you, with a tracker, right? On Pedalet?
Yes. So there's a tracker for all the riders. And it's called, it's on the Atlas Mountain Race. I posted it on my Instagram, which is Nicarus. And it's also on the Atlas Mountain Races website as well. It's like Map Progress something. And if you use CAP 102, that'll track me. But if you don't use CAP 102, you'll be able to track the whole race and then find individuals. And I think you can look up individual CAP numbers from their website. But that should have live tracking. And so you'll be able to see where everyone is at every given time, which should be good.
That's really, really good. Like, I will definitely keep my eyes on you. And I wish you all the best. Cross all my fingers. And please
come thank you so much.
Back onto the show when you're back.
Take care. Yeah, take care and see you all later. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Nick Clark, almost live from Morocco. As you could hear, he's very nervous, almost excited. So follow him on the Atlas Mountain Race website where there is a tracker, or follow him on Instagram at Nicarus. As he mentioned, he's trying to updating his feed every now and then in case he finds time. And otherwise, we promise to get him back on the show afterwards at some point to discuss the experiences that he made during this event. So thank you very much for listening to this very special, slightly different episode. And if you like this kind of format where we just chat to people before, during, or after the events, let us know. Send an email to podcast@velocino.com. Well, that's it. So enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day, and remember, the best stories have not yet been written.